So glad to see you this morning and welcome. This is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. I'm sure many of you knew that and some of you did not. But if it were not for Pentecost Sunday, we wouldn't be here today. Do you understand that? If it were not for Pentecost, we would not be here. The same thing is true if it were not for Christmas, if it were not for Easter. And right up at the top of that list is today, the celebration of Pentecost. Now, I don't know if anybody sent or received any Pentecost cards. You know, there actually are cards that you can get and receive. I don't know, Dan, if you want to go down a couple slides, you can see. You can literally go online and get this card. This is a card, and these are legitimate greeting cards that you can send. There's the greeting card of the Ascension, and the other greeting card is the card that signifies Pentecost. Pentecost. Powerful day in the history and life of the church. If you want to look in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, all I could think about these last couple days, if it were not for Pentecost, we wouldn't be here. I want to give you a couple words this morning as we walk through the message. If you want to write them down, power and witness are the two words. Power and witness. Let's look at that verse. I'm kind of bouncing all around, but Dan is joyfully following, and I appreciate that. It says, you will receive power. In fact, let's say this together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How powerful that is. Now, Pentecost wasn't just the celebration that took place on this day in history, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was actually a Jewish event that was happening year after year in the rhythm and in the lives of those who were following the Torah and those who were following the teachings of what we now know as the Old Testament. It was a time that 50 days after Passover, they would come back again and celebrate. You can probably go online, check out some YouTube videos of actual Pentecost services that are happening in different points in Jerusalem. You can go and see on there a video of Pentecost services that are taking place in the upper room. Some of us have been in that upper room, right where Pentecost took place, as well as the Last Supper. There are other places they are celebrating. In Jewish history, it's a week-long festival. It's a time of giving. It's a time of receiving. Much like Jewish weddings or a week-long celebration as well, Pentecost. So today we come and we reflect on this particular verse. Now, the event itself didn't take place till Acts chapter 2, and it talks about they're gathered there in that room. They had been 40 days, Jesus had appeared to them, had been teaching, had been walking with them, had been just reminding them of the kingdom of God. Then for 10 days, they were held up in this room praying and seeking what Jesus talked about. And this is what he was saying. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. They were anxiously, patiently at the same time, waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not going to go off on this tangent, but we don't live in a patient world, okay? We don't. We live in a very impatient world. All you have to do is switch where you sit in a Sunday school class or maybe a pew in church, or a route that you take. Our little five-year-old grandson, he's like a little homing pigeon. And if we're headed from our house to his house, if we go a different way, he's like, Pop, what are you doing? He did that at 4 years old. Even 4 and 5 year olds can be impatient. But these were people on a mission. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you on a mission? Pentecost reminds us that we have a mission. Notice what he says here. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Pentecost, it's the celebration of the birthday of the church as we gather together. And I'm so grateful for a church, not only the Nazarene Church, but there are many other denominations. We send missionaries all over the world. And back in the 1980s, I heard from a missionary named Elton Wood that talked about how now they were sending missionaries to the United States. Missionaries. I want to have a young guy come up here. His name is Daniel. Daniel visits now. He's been with John and Carrie a couple different times. Daniel, can you come on up here, sir? He lives in another part of the world, and because of Pentecost and how fitting it is. Come on up here, sir. How fitting it is because of Pentecost, Daniel is here this morning. Here, you can stand up here, okay? That way, you look so much better. I do. I like that. But Daniel, I am so grateful that you're here. I'm going to ask you some questions, and because of Pentecost, you're here today. Because the Holy Spirit has filled the lives of believers that were there that day in Jerusalem, and it's gone literally all over the world. So tell us this morning, brother, where do you live?
I live in Kenya. Okay. Kenya is in Africa.
Okay. And whereabouts in Kenya do you live? Are you in a city? Or are you out in the country? Where do you live in Kenya?
I'm in a rural, very rural place. Okay. A place called Talek.
Okay. And what do you do there? What kind of work do you do?
I am a practitioner in where I am working. Mm-hmm. And so I see patients who are sick.
Okay. Are these patients, are you like a regular, just a general doctor that anything that people have that's wrong with them, is that what happens? Or are you in a clinic or is this your office? What do you serve?
It's a clinic.
Okay.
So I see all types of patients.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many years have you been doing this?
This is my fifth year now.
Okay.
Yep.
And so how did you meet Carrie and the others that have gone back and forth to be there to minister? How did you meet them?
They come for medical missions to the clinic that I work in. So they come and we do a free medical camp during the time when they visit there. So that's how I met them and got to know them, and we became a family.
That's great. I like that. Can you say that last sentence again?
We became a family.
I like that. And so how long are you going to get to stay with us here in the States?
I still have 3 more weeks.
What are some what are some things you're going to do while you're here?
Just rest. do some hay baling. Hopefully it is going to dry.
That's exciting. So John and Carrie have brought you back as to do labor. They brought you. I know John said he got a new mower this year because you were coming back. And you like to mow, right?
I like mowing, and I did some. It's fun for me.
It is fun.
Yeah.
We're so thankful you're here. What do you see the Lord doing around where you work? How is God's hand at work? That's a big question, I know. But what are some things you see the Lord doing in your work there?
Well, that's a hard question, but I take it a very good question. Mm-hmm. And where I work, I ask God most of the time. Sometimes I complain that I have this a lot to do. And, you know, being away from my family, friends, and people who, my relatives. But I ask God to help me not to complain because he has called me to serve in a different part of where I come from. And, yeah, so I pray that I do not complain, but to serve God in whatever level that he's called me to, because I know.
So you have family there, relatives. Can you tell us, wife, children, what kind of family do you have?
I have one wife and 2 girls, 9 and 6.
And what are their names?
Firstborn is Angel, and she's 9. And second is Nempiris, or Blessing.
Wonderful. Wow. So when is Carrie, when are they coming back to work over there in Kenya? When are they coming back? Do you know?
Maybe in October this year.
Okay, great. And how can we pray for you?
Pray for me that I get, strength to carry on and grace so that, you know, when I take care of these patients, they get well physically and also get to know the Lord through what I do to them.
Do you have any idea about how many patients you see in a day or a month, or how many do you usually see?
In a month, we get a workload of 600 patients. They just come in and it's a walk-in clinic, not inpatient.
Okay.
Yeah.
600 in a month, and they just walk in.
Yes.
Wow. Can we pray for you?
Oh, yeah.
Dear Jesus, thank you for Daniel. Thank you for his ministry in the midst of a medical mission. Lord, it's because of Pentecost that he's there. And Jesus, I pray, no wonder he wants to come and rest. I pray that you would give him the rest he needs during these weeks. I pray that you would give him of your spirit and just help him to feel your presence more and more while he's resting. Fill him up, we pray. And Father, I pray that as he prepares to go back at the end of the month, that Lord, you would go with him, that your hand would be upon him, and that he would know that not just this prayer in this moment, but the prayers that are going to be prayed over him in the weeks and over this next year, that Father, we're going to lift him up and we're going to trust you to help him. And that Father, we know you are faithful. Help us to be faithful, to love on him, to care for him, and to be everything we can as a blessing because you've blessed us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Wow. Wow. That is awesome. You know, sometimes we're just upset that there's not enough air pressure in the tire, you know, or that the cheese is getting moldy. I mean, those are things that really upset us, and we post that on Facebook. But here's a guy that over 600 people a month are walking into that clinic. And he's praying not only for to help them physically, but did you hear what he said? That they would get to know Jesus. Wow, thank you, Daniel. I hope that you'll take time to get to know Daniel and the times that he's visiting with us. I know, I think, is it next weekend you're going to go visit somewhere else? Is that Southern Indiana? So, but if you can catch up with him today and just be a blessing to him and let him know that you will be praying for him. And John and Carrie can fill you in about that. A couple of things we want to talk about in this idea of Pentecost. The first section is just what I like to call fire, okay? Because Pentecost, it's about the fire that came in Acts chapter 2 and fell on those who were praying. You understand there are different kinds of fire. The Bible tells us there are different kinds of fire. There's a fire that we read about going all the way back to creation and times in the Old Testament when God showed up. There was Moses on the backside of the desert, and a fire was burning and a bush was not being consumed. And it was like he knew that God was in the bush. Fire. Other times when Elijah prays and fire comes down from heaven. In the New Testament, John the Baptist tells us with Jesus is the one. John's baptizing with water, but Jesus is going to come and baptize with fire. Paul refers to the second coming using the metaphor of fire. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus is said to have eyes blazing like fire. Fire. That's a powerful picture of fire. There's a negative side, and we hear of a place called hell. And that's the negative side of what fire is like. This place called Hades, Gehenna. A place where fire never goes out. A lake of fire. Jesus himself describes the image as a fiery furnace. Fire can be positive. Fire can be negative. Fire. One thing is on this idea of fire, for us as Christians, fire is symbolic of what? It's symbolic of cleansing. It's symbolic of purifying. It's symbolic of fullness. That's what was happening in Acts chapter 2 when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit fell on those people. That room, it says in Acts chapter 2, the room was filled with the presence of God. And the people that were there were filled with the Holy Spirit. So the fire from heaven talks about fullness. And that's what God wants in our lives. That's what this whole idea of the Holy Spirit is about. He wants to fill us with his very presence. And that fire wants to burn away all the stuff in our life, the garbage in our life that can distract, can detour, can destroy our lives. That's what the fire of the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's all about fullness. Of course, there's also that other side as we talk about the fire from hell. That's about failure. Failure. If we miss the opportunity to accept Jesus and to live for him, there's another option. The fire from hell. Failure. God does not desire that anybody miss heaven. Do you understand that? Pentecost is kind of like the exclamation point, although it's just the beginning, but it's the exclamation point of Jesus's ministry, sending the Holy Spirit. It starts back in John chapter 3. The conversation with Nicodemus when he says, you know what, there's this this plan that God has for your life, not that anyone would perish, but all would come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to miss heaven. In fact, he loves us so much, Jesus says in John chapter 3, that he loves us that much. He doesn't want us to miss the everlasting presence of himself in a place called heaven. So the deal is this: we all have the opportunity. At the same time, we all have the choice whether we choose this fire from heaven or this other that doesn't happen by accident, but by choice. Instead of a fire of failure, we can choose the fire of the indwelling presence of the Spirit. Another thing about these two different fires: one of them focuses on the eye of life, selfishness, and the other focuses on the indwelling presence. Selfishness. How many times, I was looking at this the other day, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just that first verse, okay? A lot of the frustration that we have in life is because of one or two things. We're forgetting about the Lord as our shepherd in the midst of all these two things. The frustration that comes with getting what we don't want. I didn't want that, but I got it. The frustration that comes with not getting something I do want. I've read the 23rd Psalm my whole life, long before I was a Christian. And it all boils down to verse 1. The 23rd Psalm: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because what he gives me is what I need. What he doesn't give me, I must not need that. I shall not want. And I don't determine for other people what they shall or shall not want. It's the Lord who is the shepherd, shall or shall not want. This idea of selfishness dwells in the land of frustration. Like, I didn't get this, but I wanted it. I didn't want that, but I got it. But the fire that talks about, the fire of the indwelling Spirit, deals with God purging us and cleansing us and empowering us and infilling us again and again and again. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years in studying the Word is that so many of these times when, like last week we talked about presenting, when Mary and Joseph presented Jesus at the temple, it wasn't just that one act. See, baby dedication, like I said last week, is not a one and done. Baby dedication is the beginning of a life of presenting our children to the Lord. It's a continual presenting. The same thing is when Paul in chapter 12 says, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't do that just once. You do it again and again and again. The good news today is, and I just see this so much, these episodes that are mentioned in the Bible are not just one and done things. Pentecost is not just a one and done. Pentecost is not, well, you know what? Spirit was poured out. Those disciples, they had power to do what they needed to do to kind of give the church a little kickstart. That's not what Pentecost is. Pentecost is a continual event that, whether it's presenting we talked about last week or the indwelling we talk about this morning, that God wants to continually fill me and fill me and fill me. And I need to be reminded of that, because sometimes there are emails and text messages or phone calls or visits of people that I need to make sure I'm being filled up, because I'm going to get drained right away if I'm not careful. Maybe you don't get those emails, texts, or phone calls or visits, but sometimes I do. And I'm kind of going along, and I'm just the happy camper, you know, just, woo, life is wonderful, life is great. And all of a sudden comes a phone call, text, email, whatever it is, or visit. So that's why I need that indwelling presence. It's like when you're out by a campfire and you're just enjoying the company. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to do more than just come with a one and done. He wants to continually fill us and fill us and fill us. Let's give you some steps to get this put into motion, okay? There's some things the Holy Spirit wants to do right here. We'll just take them right out of Scripture, okay? First one is this: Jesus is asking the disciples to wait until they are filled. I already talked about that a little bit. This idea of waiting, it's not fun to wait. I won't go into all that, but I just know that we don't like waiting. We don't like waiting in doctor's offices. We don't like waiting in traffic. I've been known to go way out of my way in traffic just not to wait. I don't know if you ever do this or not, when you go to a fast food restaurant and you want to just drive through and grab a burger or a coffee or whatever. I have this thing in my mind. I calculate how many cars are in line at the fast food drive-through. And if the calculation is more than 4, I think to myself, I can pull in, run in, get the coffee, and be gone. And then when I leave, I check and make sure, where was that last car in line? I've never done this, but I've thought about driving. I said, hey, should have gone inside. Because I didn't want to wait. And then sometimes, I shouldn't tell you this, but sometimes if it's like that double line at Chick-fil-A, you know, and there's like 12 or 14 cars, I say to myself, boy, those people are lazy. You know, they just don't want to go inside. They probably want to have them come out and deliver it on the curbside. Or they even have curbside now, you know. But the deal is, the Holy Spirit calls us to wait, to wait. These folks waited 10 days. 10 days. They were praying. They were seeking. They were probably doing a lot of fasting, a lot of listening, some fellowshipping as well. But they had to wait. The second thing was the Spirit comes, and He comes not only after we wait, but He also comes to convict us. Convict us. Jesus talked about that back in the Gospels, that the Holy Spirit would be the one to convict us of sin in our lives, areas where we need help. I need that. I need that. Let's keep moving. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom we need when we are witnesses for Jesus. I love what Pastor Bob was talking about a couple weeks ago when he was here, and he was about witnessing to different people. And you can see this. I've seen it. You've seen it. When you go into, whether you're going into a department store, a grocery store, post office, you're seeing somebody at the gas station, a restaurant, and you just see certain people that look like they lost their last friend, you know? And the Holy Spirit at that moment may give you some wisdom just to step up and say, hey, are you okay? Can I help you out? Is there anything you need? You'd be amazed. I've noticed over the years I've had more people than not that have looked at me and said, wow, thank you for asking. I've done the same thing Pastor Bob talked about, praying for somebody. And a lot of, yes, would you pray for, they'll immediately tell you what, it's just like right there on the tip of their tongue, they're ready just to, for somebody just to ask them something, you know? I've only had maybe one instance or so. Recently, I was at Lowe's, I was coming out, and there was a gentleman there that had this, it was like one piece of vinyl siding, okay? And I don't think vinyl siding comes in anything less than like 30-foot lengths. I know it does, but it seems like they're that long, you know? And it's just like 8 inches this way, and it was probably 12 feet. But anyway, he had a little bitty pickup truck. I hope he's not here this morning. But anyway, has a little pickup truck. And I was getting ready to leave, and I walked out. I said, hey, can I help you? No, I don't need help. Don't need help. That's all I said. Don't need help. Don't need help. I said, okay, have a nice day. And I just kind of walked on. I got in my truck and drove around, and he was still wrestling with that. I said, looks like you don't need any help there. I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit wants to give us wisdom. He really does. He really does. Another thing the Holy Spirit wants to do is to guide and lead us when we go out. Do you understand that when you go through this life, day by day, moment by moment, throughout the week, you're not going solo? When we celebrate this thing called Pentecost, we're reminded that the Spirit has come to live in us, to take up residence inside of us. And so when we go and we're out there sharing our faith, He is going with us. In fact, Jesus said it, and I stand on this over in the Gospel of John. He will not only go with you, but He will be in you. I've joked about this many times, how sometimes I'll walk up on a group of people and say, oh, better be quiet, the preacher's here. Do you know the Holy Spirit showed up before the preacher did, you know? And when the preacher leaves, the Holy Spirit will still be there. At least we can pray that the Holy Spirit, He's in us. He's not just doing life with us. He's doing life in us. And it helps me to know that He's there, because then He can direct me according to His will. Because I'm one of those people that is easily pulled toward people's different things that they want and need and all this stuff. And sometimes time management becomes a wreck because I'm over here helping this person. And maybe the Holy Spirit wants me to do that. But I feel like I need to help this person. And the Holy Spirit says, I need you here. He guides me to where I need to go. And another thing is, right along with this, He gives me discernment to recognize God's voice. God doesn't speak through everybody. He doesn't. He speaks through people who are listening and who are going to be a translator, a mouthpiece for what He wants to say. And there have been times, and I'm so thankful for this, in the body of Jesus, and this is why I liked what Ken said earlier about not wanting to miss church, because I need to be with you, because there are times that you will say something to me that was like a God word, just like boom, right there. Just like, right, it's like, wow, I needed to hear that. That was a word from God. And I appreciate that. And sometimes it's a positive thing, and sometimes it's a corrective thing. but I need to hear it all. And so do you. That's how the Holy Spirit gives us that discernment as we go through. And I loved our Sunday school lesson this morning. If you weren't in class, grab somebody who was, or if you look in your bulletin every week now, we have the, you can go online and find it. What a powerful lesson. Because the Holy Spirit, as I forgive and as I'm being forgiven, is like that ointment that just gushes through the whole system. You know? He just makes it all work out. He gives me that discernment. Another thing is, he calls those that he chooses for ministry. Now, today we're having this fundraiser, the Jeff Fields Memorial Bike Ride. I've given all my Jeff Fields shirts to other people. So this is the shirt I'm now wearing because we're raising money for sending kids to camp at Shiloh Park, okay? So this is why I'm dressed this way today, because I believe in Shiloh Park and our kids, and I want to get kids there, because kids will not only come to be exposed to the gospel, they'll be exposed to a call on their life. Many times I've sat in meetings as we have been helping people through the district licensing and the ordination process. We ask them their testimony. How did this all start? And they'll say something like this. I went to camp and God spoke into my life about being a missionary, about being a pastor, about doing this, about doing that. But God just, the Holy Spirit calls us to serve. It's not a secret. It's not a mystery that's only made known to a couple of handful of people. I love a testimony that's being lived out now. Next Sunday, Pastor Dan's going to preach on Father's Day. And I'm so thankful to God as to how God spoke into his life and Erica's life when they were teens and younger years, and how God continues to be faithful in calling and molding and shaping them now toward ministry, into ministry. That's the deal. And the seventh thing is this. The Holy Spirit, this is awesome, he produces fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Let me run back through these real quick, and then I want to wrap it up. Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit. The Spirit is not as simple as instant whatever you make, instant oatmeal, instant pudding, instant whatever. It's not that simple. The Spirit is going to fill us, so it's going to be something that is huge, and we want to make sure that we're listening, and we're waiting, and we're obedient, and we're aware. The Spirit convicts us as we journey. The Spirit gives us wisdom. The Spirit guides us. The Spirit gives us discernment. The Spirit chooses us. And the Spirit produces fruit. A guy named Bob Buford, a big speaker and such, I love what he said, a quote from years ago. He says, "The fruit that I produce is growing on other people's limbs." Think about that. I like that. The Spirit doesn't call just to make me a big apple tree, orange tree, grapefruit, whatever tree. He's not just out to produce fruit in me. He's out to help me produce fruit in other people. You understand that? That's what I love so much. I loved what he's talking about this sports camp next Saturday. And he's like, if there's going to be some kids that come to the sports camp, some kids will pick up on the van, some kids, their parents will drop off. And these kids, they need a parent. They need a grown-up to help them. And maybe it's something as simple as, and we've even done this at Good News Group. They just need somebody to tie their shoes before they go out. And by the way, thanks to Thad and helpers, the basketball court is happening. It's exciting. Basketball court next Saturday, and other events that will be taking place. And what we're doing is we're pouring into the lives of these little ones so they understand as they dribble or kick or whatever they're going to do with that ball that there's more than just that sport. There's a Jesus that is in us that we want to see in their lives. And so the Holy Spirit helps us produce fruit in lives around us. Jesus said, "You will receive power." You will receive power. What does that mean in your life? What does that mean, power? There's all kinds of words we can, you know, it's the original word. It's the same word we get the word dynamite. It could be ability, abundance, meaning in life. Looking for meaning in life. Seek the power of the Spirit. And then he says you'll be witnesses. The same word we get the word martyr. I like this definition. You will be an eyewitness. And one commentator says this, you'll also be an ear witness. What is Jesus doing? What is he doing? Let's look at the scripture from Joel, the prophet Joel. Joel said this, God would pour out his Spirit in that day upon all flesh. That's Peter preaching, quoting Joel. Peter's in Acts chapter 2, quoting Joel from Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. And he's making that connection. And I love it what Peter says when he gets up to preach, because people are like, what's happened? The Spirit comes. These 120 are pouring out of this upper room, and they're just so filled with excitement and joy, and God is just all over them, and they're out there, and people are saying, what is going on? These people must be drunk because the way they're behaving so uncontrollably. Peter says, or they say, no, this isn't happening because it's only 9 in the morning. It's not that. Peter stands up and he says, you know what? And I've been to the place where Peter gave the message. He said, This is that. See, Pentecost is the day when the Holy Spirit came, the birthday of the church, to give you and me power to be witnesses. This is that. Two questions. We're going to be gone. Two questions. One is this, and I talked a bit about it last week, and I think Pastor Dan's going to refer to it next week. What are you becoming because of Pentecost? We talked about it last week. Kids, they progress along the way. They graduate. They go to college. They graduate. They get a career. Or they graduate high school, go into the workforce. All along the way, like, oh, look what they have become. They became a welder. They became a teacher. They became a truck driver. They became a doctor. They became a nurse. But you understand this, as a result of Pentecost, becoming is not a word that implies arrival. You understand that? Even if you're close to 90 or above 90, you are still becoming, you know? I'm going to get to go spend some time with Dad here tomorrow, the next couple days. My brother from Washington's coming in. We're going to be fishing. My dad, 90 in November, coming up, is still becoming. And it amazes me to see what he's becoming as he serves Jesus at a food pantry, at a clothes closet, Meals on Wheels. I've told you these stories before. Going to visit the jail. I was with him one time and he had his walker and it was loaded with turkeys. I said, Dad, let me help you. No, he said, I got this. He's got like 50 pounds of turkey on his walker. He's pushing into the jail so these guys in jail could have Thanksgiving. Dad is continually becoming a minister of Jesus. Are you becoming? What are you becoming for the kingdom? And then another question really goes along with this one is, how are you engaged? Because of what the Spirit is doing in you, how are you engaged? It would be so awesome if everybody at Harris Chapel, this thought is coming around that was there years ago, if everybody at Harris Chapel had that one thing, like, well, what do you do at Harris Chapel? Well, at Harris Chapel, I'm a greeter. I'm an usher. I help lead worship. I teach a Sunday school class. I help in children's church. I help in kids' church. I help in the nursery. And you say that with this same excitement that if you were the preacher himself or herself, your job is just as important. In fact, you know this? Sometimes by the time the preacher gets up, people who are visiting have already made a lot of decisions about Harris Chapel before the preacher says a word. Because of if they were greeted or not, if they felt like they were welcomed, if they knew anybody that was already here, all different kinds of factors are at work. How are you engaged? Let's think about those questions. As a result of Pentecost, what are you becoming? And how are you engaged? Let me ask you this. It's not on the screen, but it's just what I want to ask. Has the Holy Spirit come to dwell in your life? I understand. Theology gives us all kinds of great debates over the centuries. Some would say, well, you know, when you get to become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and he's there, and it all happens at once. Okay. I don't want to get in that debate. Well, some other people say, well, you know, you really don't get the real Spirit until later on. Okay, but still, the Trinity is the Trinity, and you can't divide the Trinity, so something happens at salvation, okay? Sometimes in our church, not our church, but overall church world history, this second work, this idea of Pentecost has become such a big deal that salvation almost didn't seem like a deal at all. Salvation is the big deal, okay? Salvation gets you to heaven, okay? Can I just tell you that? Salvation's what you need. Know Jesus as your Savior. That's it. The thing that gets me excited about Pentecost, it's like this, and I love that little video clip, it's like the seed of the Spirit, the deposit, Scripture says. The Holy Spirit's been deposited inside of me. And when I make that total surrender, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, guess what? Jim has finally said, hands off. Let's do this. And the Spirit just goes crazy. The Spirit cleanses this and clarifies that and cleans that out and destroys this. This idea that this, you know, it's like this oil and water thing. The Spirit, the oil of the Spirit has to occupy me totally. And so to me, that's what Pentecost is. I'm saying I surrender everything. The last bit of me. In fact, in a couple weeks, we're going to start a series. I'm going to recommend a book if you want to look at it. It's called The End of Me. You can look it up online, get it for about 10 bucks if you want to get it online. The End of Me, it's about the Beatitudes. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, where each of those Beatitudes was where Jesus was saying, hey, by the way, when you're broken, then God can do this. When you're poor, then God can, when you in the Holy Spirit, at the end of ourselves, the Spirit comes and just blows our minds. Let's stand together this morning and bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. I don't want you to miss Pentecost. You may not find it. I haven't looked at social media today. You may not find it anywhere on social media. But nevertheless, this is a huge day. So with heads bowed and eyes closed and prayer happening, I want to invite you. Do you know Jesus in your heart life? Is he a reality in your world? Do you have thoughts about Jesus throughout the day? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Those are just all kinds of questions that circle around this one thought of being saved. Have you given your life? Have you prayed and said, Lord, I need you? That's everything. And the Bible says that when we make that decision, there's a seed, a deposit that's been planted inside of us. There's something that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And the Holy Spirit is so anxious and eager to control us for God's glory. And then comes Pentecost. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is the Holy Spirit being unleashed in your life? I love Dr. Shaver has a powerful message that he pulled from a book from years ago. It's called My Heart, God's Home. And this idea that the Holy Spirit has permission to walk through every area of my life. We have these silly little debates, folks, and I know I'm praying and preaching at the same time, but we have these silly little debates about, can you be a Christian and you fill in the blank. That's a scary question. Can I just say that? That's a scary question. The goal is this, surrender. 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 Have you surrendered and said, Holy Spirit, fill me from head to toe. Holy Spirit, fill me from fingertip to fingertip. Basically what I'm saying in there in that prayer is, be in control. Holy Spirit, bust out in my world, in my life. I will no longer be controlled by you fill in the blank, because now I am Spirit controlled. Amen. Talking about inventing these cars now that you don't even need to have a driver. Won't go there. But I tell you what, I will go there spiritually and just ask you this. Are you being controlled remotely by the Holy Spirit? Is he controlling your life? You want to come pray about it? Maybe this morning you want to come pray about your life, and there's some stuff you want to just leave up here at the altar at the front. You're welcome to come and kneel and pray. If you can't kneel, you can have a seat on the front row. Or maybe this morning there's something you want to pray for somebody else who's going through a hard time. And you just want to pray for them and just intercede, as we call that. Intercede for them and just say, Jesus, touch that person. I want to continue to intercede for Daniel as he's here visiting and as he goes home to minister. I want to pray for each one of you as you go throughout this week. You are all, as the Holy Spirit fills you, you are empowered by the power and presence and witness of the Spirit to be witnesses. around Prairie Creek and Muncie and Delaware County and even to the ends of the earth. You're welcome to come and pray about that. What are you becoming? How are you being engaged? Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we know there are lots of needs in the life of Harris Chapel. We know there are people that, like John and Sherry Patterson, who are both trying to get healed up from different illnesses, from different problems. And as we see Ruth and Tom here this morning, we also think of Don and we think of Dave. And Jesus, we just lift them up. We think of the Sheridan family that lost Anne this last week. And as they navigate through that, and others that are grieving, that have lost loved ones recently. That's hard. Life is never the same. Jesus, most of all, in the midst of all these prayers for others, we pray for ourselves. Then instead of the eye of selfishness, it would be the eye of being the infilling of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, being possessed by the Spirit. May it be so in our lives. As we look at that person in the mirror, as we look at that person across the coffee table or the breakfast table, as we look at the people we work with or live near, Jesus, may they see the Spirit has control of my life. May it be so. May it be so. Now, Jesus, in a little bit, we're going to have some great fellowship, ride some bikes, raise some money for camp, and we just pray your richest blessing on that. Oh, Jesus, how we love our kids and how we love camp. Pray that even though these funds, we may not see what happens, Lord, you're seeing what happens. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.